You're listening to KTOO's Juneau Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my next guest is Abby McAllister, wildlife educator for Southeast Alaska. Welcome back for our monthly wildlife roundup.
Why, thank you, Shelley.
Yeah, thank you for being here.
I'm happy to be here.
For starters, tell me a little bit about what you do at the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. I know you work in the Division of Wildlife Conservation.
Yeah, so, you know, basically it's my role to help communicate all the things that folks within the department, whether it's biologists or researchers, are doing and communicate that to the public, you know, whether it's outdoor skills classes or wildlife safety or just kind of general wildlife education. I get to kind of talk to the public, whether young or old, about Alaska's wildlife and how to conserve it.
Well, that sounds like a fun job.
It is. It can be, for sure.
And do you get out of the office much?
I do in the spring and summer. We have a lot of classes going on then and a lot of field work. And whenever I can, I try to tag along with our biologists and you know, kind of help them if I can, but mostly learn about what they're doing and why they're doing it, whether it's, you know, trying to figure out a deer population on Mitkoff Island or, you know, collaring moose in Gus Davis. It's great to be in the field and really learn about what they're up to.
And today's wildlife roundup is focusing on hunting season and harvesting of wild game. So I know those are some things that you wanted to address because they're happening right now. What hunting seasons are open?
Sure. Well, right now, the biggest season, well, not the biggest, but probably the season that most people are tuned into right now in Southeast Alaska, if they're a hunter or a harvester, is the deer season is open right now. Mm-hmm. And this time of year, you know, we're seeing the snow move down the mountains, and a lot of hunters are really thinking about getting out into the woods and into some of their favorite hunting spots. And with a lot of the fall leaves off of the vegetation, it's a lot easier to see through the woods and be able to spot those deer as they're moving around. And so far this year, we've had anecdotal reports of kind of a slow start to our deer season. More deer are being seen at lower elevations, which is a little unusual for this time of year. But, you know, they're guessing that maybe it's because we did have such a dry summer and it's just a little dry up high still. And so they're finding better food sources down low. So, and then moose season just closed.
I see.
Yeah. And we had a really great moose season, mostly around the region. In the Taku area, that drainage, which is an any bull hunt, we had a record number of 38 bulls taken out of that.
Oh, wow.
That drainage. So it's a really productive area for moose hunting. And then also Petersburg, which is kind of similar. It's the Stikine River drains down into there. And they had 27 bulls taken out of that area, which is also a record harvest. So it's been productive for folks who are getting out there and want to fill their freezer, for sure.
I know we don't have any moose around Juneau, but if someone in Juneau wanted to go on a moose hunt, what's their best bet?
Oh, it really varies. I mean, if you have a friend or you have a jet boat or you have a way to get up the Taku, I mean, with this year's numbers, it seems like there's plenty of animals up there. Yeah. You know, and we do have some registered hunts around the region. Gus Davis is a registered hunt. If you can, you know, take a quick flight up to Haines, that's another hunt that hunters could participate in. And then the Burners is a draw hunt. So you put in and you kind of play your luck at the lottery. And if you're drawn, then you get an opportunity to hunt in the Burners hunt as well. And we don't, you know, really, we say we don't have a lot of moose in Juneau. We are seeing a couple animals moving down from the Burners area. So occasionally people will report and see moose out the road.
But yeah. Those moose are off limits?
Well, it depends. It really does. Okay. You know, they'd want to, if they see a moose and they're like, gosh, you know, can I shoot this moose?
Right. Season's open.
Yeah. They should just come in and talk to us and we can answer any questions they might have.
They call you from out the road.
Yeah.
So that's moose season. That's closed. And when does deer season close?
So for most of Southeast Alaska, for kind of your everyday hunter, it closes on December 31st. So people still have time.
Plenty of time.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, I've been going on dog walks out on the airport dike trail, and I hear gunshots every time. I've heard them for a few weeks now. Is that like duck and fowl season?
Yeah, that's waterfowl season. So that's going as well. That's a great question. And typically, you know, most of the time you hear a lot of those shots, right, kind of as daylight has come on or as evening is approaching. That's when typically the waterfowl are most accessible for hunters. And so that's probably what you're hearing out there. Yeah. Yeah. And anyone who hunts on the wetlands, I should note that, you know, a lot of people sometimes have concern about that. And they really have to go through a number of checks. They have to get some boxes checked before they can hunt there. They have to be hunter education certified, and then they have to go through a whole kind of quiz, and they have to pass it before they can get certified to hunt out there.
That's good to know, because those gunshots sometimes are a little close for comfort.
Oh, sure. Yeah, neighbors definitely get a little bit – we have to remind them, like, hey, you know, as fall approaches, you're going to be hearing these. But these folks know what they're doing.
Well, that's great news. You also have some numbers on goats.
Harvest. Yeah, I mean, when it comes to other ungulates that are being harvested this time of year, goats, I mean, basically we have some normal harvest numbers coming in. And you know, we don't have a lot of goat hunters around the region, in northern and southeast Alaska, rather. But folks are interested, and we do get some folks coming in asking questions about that. And then I always feel like, you know, it's important to note, as hunters being out in the woods, you're creeping through the brush. A lot of people are, you know, wearing camo, and Southeast Alaska can be a rather unpredictable climate and terrain to live in. And so, you know, we really encourage folks, make sure that, you know, when you're going to go out and you're planning a hunt, make sure that you have a trip plan in place. So make sure that you tell someone where you're going, when you're going to be back. Make sure that you have a backup means of communication, because it's really easy to get into a valley or on top of a mountain and not have that cell service that you might otherwise think you were going to have. And then, of course, the weather. Make sure you check the weather before you leave. And just, you know, make sure that you keep that little survival kit in your pack in case you do have to stay overnight unexpectedly because, you know, of surprises. And they do happen. And then, of course, make sure that you bring your hunter orange, because you know, that's one thing that will identify other hunters that, hey, you know, I'm out here and I'm doing the same thing you are. So let's keep our distance and whatnot.
Yeah, I think it would be important to have some means of high visibility just in case as well, as part of your plan, as part of your, you know, emergency preparedness.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because to get especially to get those goats, I imagine you have to get pretty far up and into the wild country. So you definitely need to be prepared to be out for a while.
Absolutely. Hunting mountain goats is a very physically demanding hunt. And I think that's partly why, you know, we don't have a ton of hunters doing it. But it is very rewarding as well, because the payoff is pretty great. So, yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you for those hunter safety tips, those reminders, and some of the numbers that we're seeing and the info about the seasons. I know you also wanted to talk about bears. This is the time of year where we might see them downtown or in town.
Absolutely.
But I haven't seen hardly any.
You know, you're not alone. We have not been getting a lot of reports, which is a great thing, and we do want to keep it that way. Bears are going to be heading into hibernation here pretty soon, it can be unpredictable. If we get a patch of more sunny, dry weather, you know, that could delay that that denning time. But we are seeing some bears downtown. Overall, bears, black bears and brown bears, are entering into this phase this time of year. It's called hyperphagia. And basically, that's just a really big word that means they get really, really hungry. And this is that last chance for them to put on any fat reserves that they might need in case they didn't get enough over the summer months, and so that they can, you know, basically make it through the winter okay. And so this is the time of year where we could see an uptick in bear activity. So we are still really encouraging folks, make sure that your garbage is secured. You know, make sure you keep it out inside a, you know, shed or your garage until the morning of pickup. Because other communities in Southeast Alaska, for example, Haines and Petersburg, are seeing an uptick in bear activity right now. And so we're actively doing some education and outreach in those communities to make sure that folks know, like, hey, this is a normal thing for bears to do. So just make sure they can't get into your trash, because if they do, chances of them coming back is pretty high. You know, and also chickens and other outdoor livestock. Make sure that they're protected with, like, an electric fence or something.
How far is a bear's range usually?
Oh, it really depends. You know, it depends on the species. It depends on the age. For some of these urban black bears that we have in town, you know, they can be pretty tolerant and their range can be pretty small. For example, we've collared black bears in the Mendenhall Valley. And one bear might just kind of cruise around, you know, between the glacier and, say, like, you know, Glacier Valley Elementary or kind of the gym, those zones, and just live right in there. Maybe they'll go up onto Thunder Mountain or something and hang out up there if there's good berries. But they definitely, if they have good food sources, they won't go far if they don't have to. So it can vary a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. Something else I want to talk to you about is some of the classes that you guys offer at Fish and Game. I see your name on the Becoming an Outdoors Woman emails and the Beyond Bow, Beyond Becoming an Outdoors Woman email, which are these series of classes that you offer year-round in addition to the Becoming an Outdoors Woman workshop. So I just saw one in the last week or two about a class. Do you want to talk a little bit about what's on offer?
Yeah, absolutely. So every spring we offer in Southeast Alaska our big three-day Becoming an Outdoor Woman workshop. And we have 80 slots for women to sign up, and we have a whole slew of classes for them to take. Basically, just, you know, the goal is to give them the confidence through hands-on education to go out and take on these new outdoor skills. That workshop fills up very fast.
Yes, it does.
And because of that, you know, we really do want to give people who maybe miss that opportunity additional ones throughout the year to take other kinds of courses. And so that's where the Beyond Bow classes come in. And then what you're talking about is we have this rifle basics class coming up on Saturday. And that's an Alaskans of Field class. So the difference there is just Beyond Bow is education geared toward women, classes geared toward women, often taught by women instructors. The Alaskans of Field is open to friends and families, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's largely the same, but just friends and families. And actually, if you're a parent and you have a youth attend free with a paying adult for those classes.
Oh.
So it's really great. It's kind
That's
of the great. Whole goal is like get the whole family involved. But the best way to know about these classes, because all of them fill up quite fast, is to get on our listserv. So basically all that is you go onto the website. If you can just Google Bow ADF&G or mm-hmm. Bow Alaska and look for our listserv, and that just gives you an email that I send out every time we have a class coming up. Hey, this is open for registration. And if it piques your interest and you're interested in taking it, I highly recommend not waiting. Because as soon as that email goes out, often by the next day, we're full.
Yeah. Wow. Well, those classes are a great resource. So I'm very glad that I'm on the listserv and can take advantage of them when I make it in time.
Absolutely. And I'd like to also say those classes, we really try to make them affordable.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We try to keep our costs low because we want to make sure that that we, you know, regardless of your demographic, that you're able to afford it and take it. And the Beyond Bow classes are typically only about 3 hours, typically on a Saturday morning or something.
Yeah. And the classes are great and the instructors are great. And I'm very glad that that's a resource in our community. Abby McAllister, thank you so much for giving us all that great information. Another wonderful wildlife roundup. give us the Alaska Department of Fish and Game website again, where we can go for more information.
Absolutely. So it's adfng.alaska.gov. Click on education.
Great. Well, thanks so much for being here, and we'll talk to you next month.
Thank you.